This talk will be held by Martin Hepf. I cannot pronounce the German.
It's close
Herford.
Enough. Yes.
Okay. He is currently working at Aram Professionals, and you probably met him because he was hacking on the Bluetooth technology. And in fact, today he will talk about. There isn't any relation with that. He will tell us about the new technology that is going to be on the new smart TVs and how to hack on those. Thank you, Martin. Sorry.
Thank you for the introduction. So thanks for the introduction. Today I'm going to talk about HBB TV. Who of you have heard about HBB TV so far? Wow, it's a lot of people. That's probably because of the media attention it got recently. Who's here to see some porn? No? Oh, I'm sorry, no porn here today. So first I'm going to talk about HBB TV as a standard, then I'm going to show you about the current adoption. I did some statistics of the channels on Astra. I show possible attack vectors, a mitigation, and a project of mine, which is called HEL, HBB TV Access Limiter. And conclusion will be some recommendations for you to play with. And no porn. So who am I? My name is Martin Herford. I'm currently working with a security consulting firm called Enron's Professionals. I'm the co-founder of Trifinite.org. No. I'm a Bluetooth security expert. I'm based in Salzburg, Austria, and you find me on all kinds of networks. So what happened so far with HBB TV security, or let's say smart TV security? First, in September 2012, it's like the first occurrence where people were hacking Samsung smart TVs locally. They were able to have USB sticks that allowed them to work on a root shell. In March 2013 on KenSec West, it's been a very interesting talk where they showed that even Trojans are possible on smart TVs. And in May 2013, the TU Darmstadt published a paper on the privacy issues with HBB TV. Shortly after that, I published an article about security issues with HBB TV. And after that, in August, people were attacking smart TVs at Black Hat with poorly designed apps like Skype. In November 2013, news surfaced that LG is transmitting info about the user back to the company, which actually is not related to HBB TV, even though it got mentioned that like this in press. So where does HBB TV come from? It's a pan-European effort. It's been two projects, a French one and a German one, that combined their efforts into HBB TV, and it's published in June 2010. And it adopts existing specifications like the HTML CE profile and the OIPF, the Open IP TV Forum standard. The goal is to combine broadcast content with online content. How this works is shown afterwards. The intended use cases for HBB TV are things like enhanced teletext, catch-up services, video on demand, interactive advertisement, personalization, voting, gaming, and so on. And the social experience of watching TV should also be included. So how does this all work? First, we have to the right the TV station, which is producing the content or buying the content and airing it over, like in this example, via DVB-S, over a satellite infrastructure. There's also other ways of distributing that. You know that it's DVB-T or DVB-C with terrestrial or cable. And finally, the video and audio content is displayed on the TV. How does that all change with hybrid broadcast broadband TV? Here it's seen that the station not only publishes this audio and video stream, but also augments some information into that stream, which is then distributed via the same ways, like DVB, S, T, or C, and is displayed on the TV again, with the addition that the TV, when it's HBB TV capable, is able to read this information, which got augmented into that stream, and establishes an HTTP connection back to the station. So the main thing about this concept is the red button. I found this red button on there, which is known as a panic button, right? And obviously BBC kind of came up with this idea of the red button. And during the talk, you will find out why it's still a good idea to be in panic when you see this kind of button. That is a slide that 7-1 Media shows their customers, their advertisement customers. What you're seeing there is a chart of unique devices that are consuming the program from this firm. It's like ProSieben, Sat1, Kabel1, and some more. And it's pretty accurate. But as you can't see, something saying this is from Nielsen or any other company doing these kind of inquiries, you have to think about where did they get that information from? How do they know that? And in order to understand that, just imagine you come back home, switch on your television, and that is what you see. Actually, I have to explain this. This talk was held last time in India. That's why this is still Bollywood. But what you're really seeing when you look at that is a cookie monster. Cookie monster because your TV is a browser in this specific use case. The red button is displayed like an HTML page, overlapping the actual image, and it's mostly transparent. It only shows you a section like displayed in there. Press the red button in order to see more. And the page is actually loaded by the television in the moment the person switches to that specific station. And that was like the big privacy issue with that, because the television station is able to see when you are watching without you being able to opt out. In order to collect some data, I used a transparent proxy approach. I extracted the channel list from the television. And I was simply having some scripts that switched the channels over the network. You find some scripts doing that, and I adopted that for like sending keys from that channel list. And then I script for copying or saving the proxy log per station. And what I got is the databases with a lot of URLs that are already published on the Trifinite page. I will send show you some links afterwards. And this is a basis for first investigation. What you see here is the total number of channels that are not radio stations. There's TV, HD channels, and about 119 of them already have an HBB TV signal in there. So, but that boils down to only about 40 different hosts and maybe about 15 entertainment providers from Austria, Germany, Switzerland, and Poland. Entertainment provider is a word that I have to explain maybe. It's different from a station that offers content which is streamed like DVB. An entertainment provider is an institution that delivers online content via HBB TV. And in the end, you will see it's like every network like ProSieben, Sat1 is an entertainment provider, and there's some that do all the local TV stations. You will see that in the URL list if you're interested in that. And what you see as well is that some of the entertainment providers or channels are using ad servers. OpenX seems to be very popular for that. It's, I found that in two different stations, and Anix used that. I don't know if you watch Onyx, it's I don't like it, but I caught them in the act of displaying the banner as a kind of frame to the image, which got resized in order to fit in that frame. Since they don't have restrictive directory settings, I was able to see that they already started with that in October 2011, which is pretty early in this area because almost no device by that time was capable of displaying HBB TV content. Also, RTL2 uses that for showing banners in their portal page, so a little more friendly than the Onyx approach. And of course, they use GeoIP in order to find out where you live and what the right banner for you should display. There's also a lot of use of third-party tracking tools like Google Analytics. It's almost implemented in 22 different channels. Among these are like very large companies, like almost every channel that the ProSiebenSat.1 Media GmbH is publishing. There's other tracking services used with four channels. It's eTracker and Gemius for Poland. And seven channels are using cookies, whereas it's not clear yet if the ID within these cookies are changing. I tried to find out, but didn't have so much time for that yet. So the legal aspects of that, since I'm not a lawyer, I won't focus on that very much. There's in Germany at least, there's this Telemediengesetz, and paragraph 15 talks about the collection of usage data, and the current tracking could be considered illegal. As I was mentioning earlier, there's very few portal applications that allow you to opt out from data collection. The ARD, ZDF do offer that. So what we learned from this is that not only Big Brother is watching you, you should be well aware that there's a lot of private companies collecting data about your TV watching. Right. So if you look at that from a security perspective, there's a few points where we see easy ways to manipulate, or more or less easy ways to manipulate the information being transmitted from the TV station to the TV. First, there is a possibility of attacking the playout system, like the media house doing the production and airing that to the distribution channel. How likely is this? Depending very much on the depending media station or media house. But from what you see later in this talk, some of these media houses do not have a good understanding of security, and maybe this is feasible in some cases. The impact level would be very high to inject different information at the very source of this information. So attacking satellites or DVB, T or C could also be an opportunity to inject information. I'm not really aware about the probability that someone could get into a satellite system and replacing the DVB content on there, but maybe it's different for DVB-T or DVB-C. The impact level of this varies depending on the range that this technology is serving. But how about this satellite hacking? You should ask Travis Goodspeed if he has some ideas with that. Watering hole attacks is like the web server at this TV station site. If you get there and are able to inject information there, the impact is also very high, since this is the only source of information that is requested from the TVs, no matter about the of the distribution channel. So there's a very old configuration on one of the servers within that list. I checked back yesterday. They still didn't fix it. Maybe I should start telling people about that. I don't know if you are aware, the versions are very old. It's PHP 4 one, two. I don't know how likely it is to get in there, but you could give it a try maybe. Attacks on DNS are also happening. I put my GIMP skills were like at the limit here. This is of course an authentic NSA slide. DNS spoofing or cache poisoning is a very common attack. The traffic is diverted to deliberately to a wrong server by resolving the name incorrectly. And in the end, it's about injecting own content, right? SSL is not used in a lot of cases, so man in the middle is very possible, or by any other means of the ones I introduced yet now, it's possible to inject own content. And this sometimes could be very hard. So let's put ourselves into the situation of a really evil person. As we all know, Dr. Evil wants to destroy the world. And how does he destroy the world best? Anyone? He uses HPV TV, sure. So how would he do that in detail? Hackers could, for example, inject their favorite movie clips, right? These facial expressions remind me of the response videos of Two Girls, One Cup, if anyone knows that. I'm just suggesting stuff you could display there. There's a brand new TrifoNet project, which is called the Spoof Ticker. And the spoof ticker is crafted to overlay the news tickers of German TV stations with snippets of Der Postillion. Stefan Sichermann gave permission for this. And I have to say, while testing that, sometimes it's really hard to tell the difference between original. Here you see the spoof ticker in action. I don't have to read that to you. I'm actually looking for English language ticker news like that. And I think The Onion does have something like that. But if you have ideas, I will show you how to give these ideas to me. Sure, since the browser of the TV has a full-blown JavaScript engine built in, sometimes they just use WebKit or other open source implementations of browsers. And of course, your television could become part of a botnet. Very much depending on the header of that botnet, your television could be used to do network scans, maybe in your home network, time-based. You know how that works. There's a very good page on this. It's called andlabs.org. They show how to do that time-based scans with HTML means or JavaScript means. Bitcoin mining could be a possibility, even though televisions are not really performant. They have JavaScript built in, but to the other hand, there is not really an implementation for Bitcoin mining that purely bases on JavaScript. But what's very possible is like MD5 hash cracking or password hash cracking or DDoS attacks or any other attack that you could think of in conjunction with JavaScript, right? And you could generate new TV formats. Just say, like, whenever there's a certain TV show on, within that moment, all the televisions are part of a DDoS attack and request a certain server. How about this? Musikantenstadel attacks, resistance is futile. Just imagine every time this airs, every TV watching it, and it's a lot of them, connects to the public stations, right, in order to demonstrate against this kind of programming. So what are the countermeasures? What could you do in order to protect yourself from being spied on, from being part of an evil attack to somebody else? You could, of course, build a fortress, a couch fortress, and it's supposed to be very funny. As you could see, probably, this little guy smiling. But is that an effective countermeasure? I don't think so. You could disconnect your smart TV, like many others did already. There's a very recent research showing that almost half of the owners of a smart TV do not even connect it to the internet. Probably they knew already. You could use a proxy or firewall, and there's a lot of projects based on the Raspberry Pi, but in the end, it's just one more device in your living room, and you have a high effort of maintaining blacklists of which channel should get through and otherwise. Easier for that, you could use a DNS approach to block or allow certain hosts. But same problems appear here. You have to maintain these lists again. And here's the solution. It's called HAL, the HPV TV access limiter, and it's there to serve and protect smart TVs and your privacy. How HAL works? It's a virtual server based in Germany, and it implements a DNS server which spoofs every address, but not the ones on a whitelist. And it's spoofing all the name resolutions with the IP address of the server itself, which then serves some fake content, which prevents the television of getting a timeout or contacting the original server, which might do some statistics on your behavior. It's in a very early stage, though. HAL just started, and it's planned that there's at least four stages that are repeated iterationally. The first stage is collecting data. It's currently happening, and it's collecting data about the HPV TV application data on the different entertainment provider sites and about smart TV data. Stage two would be data analysis, definition of criteria for HPV TV apps, just to find out which ones should get on the whitelist and, to the other hand, which ones should be blocked. And there's also like semi-automatic HPV TV app auditing. I will explain that later, how that works. And finally, there should be a whitelist, which is productive. You know, there should be that DNS server there. You shouldn't really think about that much and just use it. Which units does HAL comprise of? There's this data collection unit, and what you see here is the fake red button. And when you see that, your television already sent this information, which is displayed here. It's a station name, it's a very unique DBB triplet, because the station name is not even very unique. There's 3SUT, 3SUT HD, like in this example. Sometimes they don't differentiate in the name, but for sure in the DBB triplet. Then I send the TV manufacturer and the red button URL, which is accessed or should have been accessed. And this is a smart TV auditing unit. What you see is like every little square there. It stands for a test, which checks on HTML5 objects like WebSockets, WebWorkers, App Cache, Session Storage, Local Storage, WebSQL, all the things that got introduced with HTML5 and might be interesting from a security perspective. And to the other hand, there's a lot of objects that are specified in the OIPF standard, but are rarely implemented in current versions of the TV browsers. For example, Application Manager, which is always implemented, video broadcast for sure, but things like internet messaging service, for example, could generate a lot of surface, which is interesting. And of course, it tries to find places where personalized data could reside in the browser and tries to find out about things like that. And there is an HPV TV app auditing unit, and it's currently based on HTT Track, the HTT Track website copier. I'm pretty sure some of you know that, which downloads the whole page and does also some JavaScript in order to get more content. It's very basic, and it allows static code analysis. So you could tell whether IP addresses are accessed, you could tell whether certain objects are called from the HPV TV application. But there's a lot of room for improvement. The goal is to have a DNS server for smart TVs that only lets clean service endpoints through to the television, and to collect security-relevant information about smart TVs without having to buy all of them. Sure, it's an expensive thing. And to the other hand, there should be a list that lists all kinds of HBB TV services worldwide, which one person in one country could not achieve by him or herself. I'm sure you want to know how to use that, and you just type this following IP address as the DNS server of your smart TV, and everything else should happen. Also, spoof ticker will show up if you do that and switch to the right channel. That's how you can try that out yourself. There's an upcoming cooperation with a community television service in Salzburg. I don't know if you know about community TV show things, stations like that. They have a funding member base, and it's supposed to be a very new approach to user-generated content on TV. And they're really interested in having things like the spoof ticker in their show, in their program. And that's why I think there might be some upcoming cooperation soon next year. There is a device called OpenCaster. It allows you to play around with this DSMCC object carousel, which is carrying the information I was talking about before. And there you could try out how your television reacts to certain input in this field. There is the MIT Experts HBB TV test suite. These guys did the ARD and ZDF HBB TV portal, and they have this open source test suite, which is really interesting if you are trying to look into that in more detail and trying to do your own applications. But especially for doing own applications, I found something that I didn't know before. It's been it's a TV application layer. It's a BBC project. It's open sourced as well, and it's a framework that eases the development of HBB TV applications. And I'm faster than expected, unfortunately. This is a slide. I'd like to give credits to a lot of people that were directly or indirectly involved in the whole research process. Thank you, everybody who's on there and in this room. If there's questions, I have Mozart balls in exchange.
Exactly. is there a question in... okay. There you go.
Well, it's not so much a question as an additional point of information is that the ability to see changing channels, so viewers changing channels in real time, is not unique to HBB TV. There's a downlink on all IPTV set-top boxes, of course, and also I believe all modern cable set-top boxes do this as well. So this is not unique to HBB TV. It's just a way to trick it onto satellite and digital terrestrial as well. Also, I'm active in a... Well, I'll take that up with you later.
Yeah, collect your motor ball. Thank you.
Throw it here.
The IP address again.
Say it again, please.
Could you show the slide with the IP address again, please?
Oh, sure. Good idea.
And did you check if you can use the camera?
Hey, there was a question on microphone 3. Oh. Sorry.
Yeah, just a short question. I do not own a TV that could do that, but when you researched the HBB TV stuff, did you find actually anything useful that it was actually what it was used for?
There's an add-on for Firefox which could be argued if it's useful or not. There's Oprah does browsers for smart TVs as well, and they have a VM that you could run and try to test your HBB TV applications. But I did not really succeed using these in a probable way.
So. I mean, if the stations broadcast any useful content using HBB TV.
Oh, that's the question. Depending, you know, some like it, some don't. ARD/ZDF has all the recordings of Musikantenstadl. It's something to go for, I would say. Collect your motor ball, please.
Back to one.
So, back to the question. I checked that HTML5 can also use a camera if it is supported. And in newer devices, the camera is always on. Could you check if you could use a camera in your, for example, Samsung TVs, to look what's happening in the user living room?
Of course, this is the first question if you have a device with a camera. And I was trying to do that. Actually, there's two kinds of application environments. There's usually the ones for the app, like Skype and stuff. And there's the one, at least for Samsung, this is true, that only lives in this TV world, and there the camera object is simply not available. But it's something maybe to try out. But to the other hand, this is not part of the HBB TV standard, and it's hard to do a standardized test for a camera. All right. But HTML5 is not even implemented in all the television sets. Some of them do have already some features, some of them simply don't. But I think this is to come. Want a mouse, Paul?
Maybe in the newer version. So a HTML5 is nothing like a standard. It's a set of features, and with newer devices, it might be that it could occur without further annotation. If you use a newer version of WebKit or whatever, its use could be simply on.
It's true. Maybe this is will be a test. You want a monster ball? If I throw it, it's dangerous. They could kill. All right.
Microphone two now.
Can I ask a question without the monster ball?
Oh, there.
Yeah, OK. The frequency of the requests, do you record this as well? Because that's a kind of privacy issue there too, because some, I believe, have a frequency of 1 second per page when you have a specific channel.
So what is your question again? What do I record?
Do you record with your suite how often a page is reloaded? Because I believe some ProSieben record every second an impulse.
Mm-hmm. They have a JavaScript method that pings all the time. It's called long polling or so. And they do repeated checks and to see if the watcher is still watching.
Yeah, but how do you record that?
You could see that in the proxy log, but my proxy script switches after 10 seconds, so you won't see it. But maybe this is something you would also find in static analysis of the source code.
Thank you.
Wonder Motor, Paul? No.
One?
Oh, short question. Short question. Are there any known attacks on the HBB that are gone public or something?
Most of the things I was working with is out of the OIPF standards. It's the Open IPTV Forum, and this standard got adopted by the HBB TV standard. So it lists a lot of technical features, and there's also the HBB TV standard, and I'm pretty sure you find some useful information in there as well.
Okay.
Most of all? Yes.
Yeah.
One question from the internet. Could you fake votes by accessing those pages by a PC or your server?
Could you, what was the question from the internet?
Could you fake votes for reality shows or whatever voting is done?
Very good question. Actually, it's not, I haven't seen the voting feature implemented via HBB TV yet. But once it gets implemented, this is one of the most interesting things to do. I would say, because at the moment only HTTP is used. You could do all kinds of tricks in order to get votes for your favorite candidate. I'm sure this is happening. But maybe by the time the voting gets implemented, maybe they have a user login structure, kind of. Maybe they find ways to prevent fraud on this end when they do that.
Okay. There is a question.
Thanks for your talk. You mentioned the case of the television manufacturer. Could you elaborate on that? Was it the same set of data transferred to the manufacturer that is also transferred to the HBB TV providers and the television stations, or was it
actually
completely
you're talking about the LG incident?
Yes.
I don't believe it's been. It has to do with HBB TV. I think it's like every bigger company does market research. LG did market research, and I discovered within the proxy log also that Samsung, of course, calls home. No more so far. But it's unclear which information is included in there. So it's usually encrypted. It's usually a call to IP address, which usually brings up a firmware update or something like that. What else there is included, I'm not able to tell, unfortunately. So that's one more question.
There is one on microphone 6. Yeah?
Yep.
Okay.
I was wondering if TVs that also have a recording function do these HBB TV requests at the time that they record when no one's watching. Did you investigate that?
I haven't. And what is the exact question, that the recording function could be deactivated or?
No, if the recording function, when it's active, so if the TV records something.
Oh.
Does it then also do the HBB TV requests?
Haven't researched this, but would not expect that to, but can't say. Maybe it's something to try out. Motorball? Who was it? Was you? Yeah.
There was a question up there. On the right.
Yeah, come here if you like the most of all. All right,
well,
question.
Go ahead, please.
You mentioned in your talk that the legal situation, at least in countries like Germany, is actually such that it seems to be illegal to do that sort of data collection. And I'm wondering, public companies like ZDF, IRD, and so on, they should, you know, adhere to legal standards.
That's
Is
true.
There anybody looking into the legal situation at the moment? Is this an issue for, a Staatsanwalt in Germany to look into that? Or is there any sort of statement coming from the public broadcasting companies to say, okay, we looked into this legal situation and because of this and that, we think that we are within the limits of German law? I mean, this is a very strange situation for me, that you cite a law that evidently is violated and everybody seems to be doing it and nothing happens.
As far as ID ZDF, or especially ZDF, I found the option to disable tracking.
Okay.
You could opt out from that, but private TV companies clearly have no intention of making that easy, because it helps them selling ads. But this is just an assumption. But I think it's about time when somebody really is investigating there. Maybe somebody is having the idea of suing these companies. Somebody with a lot of energy, though. Mr. Paul?
Yeah.
One?
Do you know of any reason why no SSL is used in these protocols? It seems strange to implement such a protocol in 2011 and not use any transport encryption.
Yeah, to the one hand, I would say a lot of content delivery networks it's getting more complicated when using HTTPS. That's just an assumption. But to the other hand, almost no television on the market is making a difference. I checked on the Samsung TV, for example. It's not complaining about self-signed certificates. So even though they would use it, it's a question whether anyone would find out. if the content is authentic.
Number two.
My question was about the return path technology. I mean, obviously, a physical return path must be implemented in order for the device to send back any information. So you need an internet connection. How does it physically work? And what is the aim of the people? How do they want to achieve that? Maybe one day almost every television is connected and has a return path, even for those households who may not have an internet.
In these cases, they just don't know. If there's no return path, no internet connection there, they just don't know.
I mean, to which extent could HBBTV work without the return path? Is there a chance that, for example,
it
generates some codes that people can send via SMS somewhere?
As far as I know, there's no alternative to being connected and accessing the content via HBBTV. There is some fallback solution for the red button display. If it's not possible to access the red button of the internet, there will be some objects embedded in the carousel that then get displayed. But once you press the red button, the television tells you, better get online in order to see something. Mm.
Yep.
Martin, I also have a privacy-related question. Well, maybe two. First, did you check the Google Analytics code, whether there was the anonymizer enabled or not?
I haven't checked that.
Okay.
Sorry.
Second question to it, which channel were we using Google Analytics? RTL TV in Germany or RTL TV in France? Because Arte is also in Germany sponsored by every household nowadays, right?
True. They are kind of public, right?
They're kind of public, yes.
Yeah, they kind of have old servers.
That would be kind of interesting to know. If a public funded company using Google Analytics with or without the anonymizer?
I haven't checked on the anonymizer. The proxy logs are online, but I will check afterwards. Maybe we talk about that a little more. I don't know this feature, to be honest.
Okay, thanks.
What's the problem?
Number three.
I actually know the answer to a question that was asked earlier. If you record something, you have to watch the channel in the same time so that they record you, so they know which channels you watch anyway. So if you record something, they know that you watched it. So, yeah.
Oh, you mean if I watch a recording, they would know?
No, but if you record something, they know that you watched it because you have to watch the channel to record it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
The HTTP address comes along with the content, and the television requests it once it receives this information. This is usually when you watch it, so it's only then. And in the case of ProSiebenSat.1, they also check periodically if you're still watching.
But the question was if they know if you recorded it, I think.
Oh.
Yeah, and they know because you have to watch it.
I don't think so, but whether it's recordable or not is encoded in the DVB stream somewhere. I'm not expert on that. But I'm not sure that HBBTV gives the means to know that.
Or?
You can use HBBTV not only in TVs, you can use it also, for example, on Dreambox or on home theater PC. Are there any differences concerning the security issues?
I think not exactly the security issues. These are the same, but the privacy issues are differently because you deliberately start an application in the case of like Dreambox or other where you call a URL or you deliberately open the ZDF Mediathek. And that's a different in point of privacy, but in point of content injection, you might have the same issues. Mozapal? You guys, you should come here. I have so many left.
Are you running out of chocolates?
No, no, not yet.
No, but we don't have any more time for other questions. All right. Sorry.